And a very good afternoon to our team from Goldsborough Financial Services. And we have Will Chapman and Lachlan Harvey with us. How are you, gents?
Very well, thank you.
Marvellous, thanks, Alan.
Yes, look, it's the the trio of the Baldies in here today, isn't it? have a look at the Twitter account. You'll see some very shiny heads. The three of us, so we're all very alike. Not from the same gene pool, so don't worry. Before we get stuck into things, we should point out that Will and Lachlan are here to give general advice. We emphasise that any comments that shouldn't be accepted as direct advice and acted upon. Instead, the advice is to call them and make a personal appointment is the word I'm after, isn't
sure,
it?
Sure, correct.
And get some personal advice. We're going to talk about something that is a very, very important topic that a lot of us choose to ignore, estate planning.
Yeah.
It's not a very happy topic, but yeah, it's something that we
something
should...
not something you're usually talking about with your family and friends over the dinner table.
Mm. But it's something we need to talk about, sooner rather than later, because you never know what might happen. What is estate planning?
Estate planning is just giving some thought to how your wealth transfers to your beneficiaries, and that's usually your children or your spouse. But it might be also to leave a legacy with charities, foundations. There's a whole bunch of different ways in which you can distribute your assets, but usually it's talking about how that can be done most effectively to cause the least amount of confusion, pain. Certainly tax can be an issue as well. And just make it very clear. It's not something that people walk into our office and they're not banging down the doors saying, hey, look, we want to talk to you about estate planning. It's often something else that people will come and visit us about. It might be superannuation. It might be that they've received a lump sum and don't know what to do with it.
Mm.
But often once we go through that process and we've dealt with that particular issue, we start to think more broadly about other issues that could be areas of concern. And people often go away thinking, oh, maybe I do need to do something about my estate planning and maybe what I've got in place. Maybe I've got a will and a power of attorney, and that's a great start, but maybe I haven't done enough to make sure that things transfer effectively.
And I'd say that'd be a fairly common situation, wouldn't it, Will? They've got those two sorted out, but they need to take this third step.
Absolutely. So quite often when people are looking at retirement, we might say to them, what are your goals in retirement? And they can quite often look to you a bit blankly and say, I haven't really given it a huge amount of thought. But then when we do get to that point in the conversation where estate planning comes up, they'll quite often have quite specific views. I want my children to get it, or I don't want that particular person to be receiving a benefit, or they're worried about the consequences of somebody receiving it if they have somebody who has dependencies or something on those lines that they don't necessarily want large lump sums going to those people. So quite often they have specific views about what they want. They just don't know how to then go and implement it and make sure that they've got that peace of mind that the outcomes that they want are going to come to fruition.
So how is it different to a will? I would have thought I could spell all that out in my will if I was really thorough.
Well, you probably can. You probably can, but it's not... It's not that people don't, it's people don't necessarily give it the amount of thought that it deserves.
Right.
So, for instance, if you've got two adult children and one child that's perhaps a teenager, you don't necessarily want them all receiving a lump sum benefit. You might want the teenager to receive that benefit maybe when they're 25 and someone else can look after the money in between and maybe help them out with school fees, university, if that's applicable, help with the purchase of a car, but not just give them the money. And that's a concern for a lot of people. They don't necessarily want younger people having full control over the money because we can make mistakes when we're young.
That's a really, really good point, Lachlan, because I would imagine, I don't know this, but I would imagine there'd be a lot of people out there who've got a will saying, if I fall off the perch, equally divide my entire estate between my 15 kids.
Yeah,
equal
sure.
slice.
Sure.
But you make a really good point. Well, why are you going to give a 7-year-old?
Needs,
why are you going to give a 7-year-old all that? Because the 17-year-old or the 17-year-old might blow it down the pub that night.
Yeah, and who should look after it while that person is coming of age? And under what circumstances can they access some income or some capital out of that particular, let's call it a trust, so that the money's held in trust for their benefit? Under what circumstances can they access it?
Really good point. Happy to take your calls if you've got any queries or you want to ask the guys anything about finance, particularly about estate planning. The number to call is 8223 0000. All right, you've got a bit of a hit list that we can step through to help us with this.
Well, we've got a couple of examples, and we mentioned the one of minors, when people are under the age of 18, should they be allowed to control that money? And even is 18 too early? Should it be later on, you know, perhaps sometime in their 20s when the money is transferred? But what happens if your children, and they're the natural beneficiaries for a lot of people, what happens if your children are maybe in a de facto relationship? And there's always that risk that that relationship may separate. Is there a risk that you leave your money to your children and half of it disappears through a family law settlement? And that's a real risk, and it's something that needs to be thought about and dealt with, and it's not something that the standard will kit will take account of.
I think if I can just add to that, it's important to also understand not just that a will being in place is going to cover all scenarios, because a will can be contested, of course. So Lachlan mentions scenarios like trust, but we tend to sort of think, if somebody were to say to me, look, would you be the executor for my will, you tend to think of it as a bit of an honour that somebody would trust you in that way. And it is in that regard, but it's also a bit of a burden because it's a huge undertaking to sort out somebody's estate, particularly if circumstances in the will are likely to actually lead to a contested will. Then that person could be the estate for could be the executor of the estate for many, you know, months or years to come into the future. So it can be a huge burden. Having things reasonably black and white and reasonably simple certainly are important, but where you've got outlier circumstances, and let's face it, most of us have some peculiarity in life. Life is not simple for absolutely everybody.
Not where families are concerned. Families are complicated.
And when they are, we need to just make sure that, firstly, you've got the peace of mind that your will is going to cover it. And then, secondly, also that the person who's the beneficiary and or the executor has a reasonably streamlined process that they can go through to make that process easier. And that's a big part, I suppose, from a financial planning perspective of it's not just what happens to the money when I pass away, but what happens in the process of when I pass away, and are my beneficiaries going to be angry with me for leaving them the money, but this awful mess for someone to have to clean up?
And welcome back. We're talking to Will Chapman and Lachlan Harvey from Goldsborough Financial Services. Happy to take your calls. We're talking particularly today about estate planning, which is something we all need to give some very, very serious thought to and perhaps have that difficult conversation. Let's have a quick check-in with Diana from Parkholm. How are you, Diana?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Alan?
Yeah, good, thank you. You've got a question for Will or Lachlan?
Yes. What is the actual procedure if you may need to contest the will?
Okay, well, firstly, I should just point out, Diana, and thanks for the call. It is a common question that we get, and I'll apologise in advance to say I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not at liberty to give you legal advice. But generally, the process usually does involve getting legal advice, and I would strongly encourage anybody who was considering contesting a will to know exactly what their options are on that space, because the process can be protracted. The process can cause a lot of upheaval, not just from a family perspective, but also from a legal and future family perspective, I guess. So it's important just to make sure that you know what your legal options are, but also in practicality, what that outcome may lead to. And that might depend on how much you think that you're potentially entitled to, or a person who was contesting a will was entitled to. It may also need to take into consideration the promptness as to which you may be needing those funds, and whether actually you think that it's viable to go through the process of a contest.
All right. Thanks, Diana. I hope that helps. All right, gents, we need to have the conversation. What's the process I go through? I've had the conversation with my family. We've come up with a plan. What's next? How do I put it into action?
Yeah, look, I'll tell you the approach that we use. We want to talk to people in depth about all the extended family relationships and get an understanding of what's really going on behind the scenes. Not just say, have you got a will? Yes, tick the box, write down the date that it was last prepared. But really to have a really close look at what that family relationship looks like and where the potential risks might lie. And that might be, as we said before, leaving the money to a child that then has a separation, or, you know, taking into account all the different circumstances and maybe kids or family members that might have a disability, people that you need to look out for in particular. So all of those things get taken into account, and then basically we prepare a report, which acts as a briefing note for you then to go into your lawyer, and if you don't have a lawyer, we refer you through to one, and sit down with them and prepare that document as per that briefing note.
So you can actually sort out the financial side of it in such a manner that I can then take along to the lawyer, and it's all, you know, all ticked.
Yeah, and the lawyer's got all the information, all that basic information that they need, that they spend time writing down, and they're obviously charging an hourly rate to do so.
Quite often a six-minute rate, actually.
But, yeah, not an hourly rate, a six-minute rate. So, you know, names of your beneficiaries and whether there are any specific issues within your family that needs to be taken into account. All that stuff gets put on paper. What we'd like all of our clients to have also is a document that acts as a crisis management plan.
Yeah.
So if something bad happens in the family, it doesn't necessarily mean a death. It means
I could have a prang on the way home tonight and end up in a coma.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's use that as an example. Someone needs to pick up a piece of paper with all of your important information on that, because bills still need to be paid. There's rents and mortgages and insurances and all of these things, Medicare numbers, all of that stuff. Because otherwise someone else is desperately searching for it and they just don't know where to go. And if there's been a crisis in a family, it's really difficult to get even the most basic things done because everyone's head's in a scramble. And it's particularly the case when someone's passed away. It's very difficult to do any kind of administrative task because people's head, they're just not in the right space for it.
So that's really good advice, putting together an estate plan. Doesn't necessarily just come to action when someone passes away.
Yeah, we call it estate planning for life. So it's basically thinking, well, what little steps can we take now to save someone an enormous amount of hassle later on down the track? And when you think of it like that, you think, oh, well, the investment is worth it, because if you're thinking along those lines now and you've got it all together and you've got time to prepare all of that information, it's really not a difficult task. But when you're tasked with administering someone's estate or helping them out in a crisis, that's when it's really difficult to do, and it can take days and weeks just to sort out the most basic of stuff.
Does it get officially registered anywhere, Will?
So from our perspective, it would be very important that, A, they keep a copy of it where other people know where it is within their family.
That's what I'm getting at. It's
important to understand, I suppose, where these documents can be. From our perspective, say, for instance, our clients, we would encourage them to say keep a business card and a copy of the Information That Matters report with some of their other estate planning documents, and that might be kept in their safe. Potentially it could be kept even with their lawyer or in a safe place. But from our perspective, it's really we would want our clients to give us a call, our clients' potential beneficiaries to give us a call and say, look, I hate to say it, but, you know, mum or dad's passed away, or brother or sister, whatever the nature of the relationship is, and, you know, we need your help. Can you give us an understanding of what we've got? And in that case, we can pull out something like a crisis management plan and say, okay, these are the questions that you need to be asking. These are the steps that need to be taken. It might not necessarily be that all the financial planner does all of it, but it could be just isolating what jobs need to be done based on what the questions are and working through it. And it's really for everybody involved in the process. It's a record that's there. It's relatively up to date. You know that at a certain point in time, this was the information. These are the bank accounts. We've already got all that detail there. Let's just go through in an orderly manner and work through the process. And it takes an awful lot of stress, an awful lot of weight off the shoulders of those people who are trying to struggle to get through the process.
Yeah, I can see that's certainly the case. 822-300-00 if you've got a question for the guys. Is it easy to change? I'm assuming this is not something you have to lock in stone.
No, this is just a working document. So you can update it as many times as you like. Our clients, we encourage them to call our office, update their crisis management plan and their Information That Matters report. So that's the report that's got all of the information that's really important to them. And they can update that at any time. We keep a copy. They keep a copy in an important place at home, somewhere that can be accessed. And that's the way that system should work.
So to get this process going, we need to sit down and have a serious conversation with mum, dad or auntie and uncle or nana or pa, whoever. Sit down around the table, have a serious conversation, make some notes and then take it from there.
Yeah, and indeed include your financial planner and at some stage include your lawyer. But look at it from a financial planning point of view as well, because lawyers look at it from the legal point of view, financial planners from the financial planning point of view, and we're interested in ways in which we can help people minimise tax, you know, use superannuation as effectively as possible, all of those little things. And there's plenty of scope for financial planners to add value in that regard. Mm. The other thing that we really would like to emphasise is, once you've got all this in place, if you're in any doubt as to whether you should get your family involved and bring your kids into the room and discuss this openly with them, I would say do it. Yeah, there's some people that will simply avoid doing that, but I think there's some people that would as to whether that's a good idea. I would say it's a very good idea, because if there's going to be a problem arise in the instance when someone passes away, then it's better to deal with that now rather than later on.
Are you speaking from experience there? You've had situations where it's got a bit irky?
Yeah, sure. And yeah. I think probably both Will and I have dealt with clients where things haven't gone quite according to plan when someone's passed away. And these things can happen really suddenly. You don't always get a lot of notice. The more you can bring family members into the fold and have an open and honest discussion, I think that that's a really positive thing for most families.
That's really good advice, actually. Really good advice, because you don't want the bombshell to be dropped, you know, after the first bombshell is someone's passed away.
Yeah.
Then to actually find out, you know, what they decided.
Well, a lot of adult children really don't know their parents' financial position until...
Well, we didn't with our parents, I've got to say. When my mother and father passed away, I had no idea.
Well, in most families, these things aren't discussed openly.
No.
But where it is, it tends to be a positive thing rather than a negative. We're often meeting with people that are assisting their parents go into aged care, and that's the first time that they find out about their financial position and whether they've got investments and assets.
That's right. And if they've got a power of attorney in place, then they usually do have an understanding, but it might only be them. It might be that their siblings, for instance, the other children, they have no idea. And they then get a bit of a shock, because they might then question, well, did my brother or sister, who was the power of attorney when they were putting them into an aged care facility, acted in the most appropriate manner? Was the money spent in the right way? All of these sorts of things. Yep. And it's where I suppose you get this conflict point between families and the law, basically. And, you know, lawyers ultimately have a huge role to play in making sure that they get it right. I suppose financial planners have a huge role in making sure that from an estate planning financial perspective, all the dots are put in a line.
All right. Great conversation. Very, very interesting indeed, and very useful. Lachlan and Will, good to see you.
Thank you, Alan.
Goals Financial Services. If you want to see the guys personally, you'll find them at 120 Greenhill Road in Unley. The number to call to make an appointment is 8378 4000.